3 seconds.
One. Good morning, church. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us enter his presence with praise and thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. This morning, we're going to do a hymn for you. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Thank you. good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. What belongs to the Lord? What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you fight and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you're asking with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture says without reason that he's jealous, that his jealousy longs for the spirit that he has caused to dwell within us? But he gives us more grace. That's why the scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? God's word, God's people, has already been blessed. This morning, we're going to have a prayer by Deacon Hall, Dr. Witch. The praise team will come back to you with a couple of songs. Amen.
Let every heart pray. Oh, gracious Father, we come this morning, Lord, with thanksgiving in our heart.
Yes.
We come, Heavenly Father, realizing, Heavenly Father, that without you would be nothing. Oh, gracious Father, we just ask this morning that you just have your way, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we ask that you mold this program, Heavenly Father, the way that you would have it. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for allowing us to assemble in thy name one more time. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for just being with us through the storm and through the rain. Oh, gracious Father, we know, Heavenly Father, that you know what we stand in need of before we ask. But we've been taught by your word, Heavenly Father, that we have not because we ask not. Oh, gracious Father, we ask you this morning that you would just, Heavenly Father, just seek the land, Heavenly Father. Find those that may be lost, Heavenly Father, don't know you in the corner of their sin. Oh, gracious Father, let them, Heavenly Father, bow down and say, what must I do to be saved? And gracious Father, those of us that have the faith, Heavenly Father, we ask that you strengthen our faith. Let us know, Heavenly Father, that you're there with us, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we just thank you because we were able to get up and walk on our own this morning. We thank you this morning because we looked around and see that our family circle had not been broken. We thank you, Heavenly Father, because we were able to assemble and each and every one of us here was here this morning. Now we ask, Lord, that you would just continue to bless us. Lead us and guide us the way that you would have us to go. Oh, gracious Father, we ask that you forgive us of our sin and our sinful ways. And we pray a special prayer, Heavenly Father, for these United States of America. Heavenly Father, we realize, Heavenly Father, what's about to happen on Tuesday.
Yes, amen.
And
Heavenly
Father, we just ask Heavenly Father that you give us the strength.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, whatever may come our way, Heavenly Father, we'll be able to endure.
Yes,
oh, gracious Father, now we pray for those that are less fortunate than we are.
Yes.
We pray for those that may be sick at home, Heavenly Father. We pray for those that, Heavenly Father, that somebody pray for me. Now, gracious Father, as we go through this day, Heavenly Father, let our walk not be in vain. If there's anything that we can do to help someone along the way, we ask that you just show us the way.
Yes.
These things we pray in the glorious name of Jesus. For our sake, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
not only do you owe, but collectively we owe the Lord.
Thank you.
That was beautiful right there. I would like to thank God for another opportunity, but this is the day the Lord has made. Is that right?
Amen.
We'll rejoice and be glad that it is his name. Amen. 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 I wish I could preach like y'all Sunday.
Amen.
There's a virus
pass down things like coming together for Christmas and Easter, amen, where we celebrate with our family. We pass down certain things as elevating our children to teach them to come and serve the Lord and come to church. We teach them the importance of education. We teach them the importance of manners, amen, and how to conduct themselves outside of the home and how they ought to show respect for other people who don't look like or think like them. Those are some of the traditions that we pass down. But there are traditions that we pass down that are not so good. Amen. They perpetuate hate. They perpetuate trouble. They perpetuate malice. They perpetuate untruth. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that some folks will take what other folks say as tradition and make the word of God of none effect. In other words, we say stuff like, if you take one step, you'll take two. Well, that sounds good in tradition, but it's not in the Bible. Amen. I didn't want to tell you. If you're looking for it in the Bible, you won't find it. But there's nothing wrong with that, right? They're just saying if you step out on faith, amen, that God will make a way. That's basically what it's saying. But to take that and try to make it Bible is not Bible, but it is a good tradition to pass down. Y'all will be all right after a while. There are some traditions in the church that are good, but there are also some traditions in the church that are bad, like Men's Day and Women's Day. There's nothing wrong with Men's Day. You can't hear me? Oh, y'all can't hear me?
Hallelujah! Yeah, can you hear me now? Right. I'm not that conversion. Can you hear me now? Yeah. We understand that in church there's nothing wrong with the tradition of certain churches. Then we just take Archer's Grove in account. We have what you call Men's Day. We have what you call Women's Day. Well, it's nothing wrong with having Men's Day and Women's Day because it lets us know as men that we ought to step up and be responsible. It lets us know that we give a special offering to perpetuate the church so that we will have money to operate and to do mission outside the church. There's nothing wrong with that, right? We have Women's Day to remind them of how beautiful they are and called of God, amen, the creation of God. We have Women's Day to remind women to be strong, amen, in an age where people just treat them with disrespect, amen. We let them know that they are important to the church, they are important to the home, and they also raise money who allows them to operate in ministry. There's nothing wrong with that. But then the church messes up because sometimes we make the word of God of none effect because I can preach from this Bible and other preachers can preach from this Bible and you all will take the traditions of the church to close our mouths and say what we're saying is not true and the traditions of the church are true. And y'all take the traditions of the church, Father, and bring them in the church to try to operate a spiritual church with freshness stuff. Okay, all right. Let me back up for a second. Amen. Give yourself a chance to shake your fat off, okay? What I'm saying to you is that God has given us a mandate on how we're supposed to operate. God has told us what we're supposed to do and the way we're supposed to treat each other. Deuteronomy 6 said, love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. That's what it says. Amen. It don't say to love me when you don't like me. It doesn't say you have to like me. It just says you're supposed to love me. Amen. It just says you're supposed to love me like you love yourself. That's the word of God. The traditions of men will tell you that when somebody do something to you, then you shut them out. Ain't that right? The traditions of men will say, I won't take that. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Reverend Lamont the other day. You got to be careful, men or women, when you listen to somebody who's disgruntled in a relationship and they're trying to tell you, I want to take that from my husband, my wife, my friend, my church, and they still at their church and you leave your church and get mad. They still with their husband and their wife. You in the house mad, not speaking. Y'all see them down now? But there is a virus in the air. We know that this virus is the coronavirus, amen, that we are mandated to wear masks. And we know that some people refuse to wear masks, ain't that right? But we also know that the numbers are going up in coronavirus and people are getting sick, not just in the United States of America, not just in Alamance County, but people are getting sick all over the world. So that's letting you know that this is not political like most people are trying to say. This is a real virus and a real disease. In this virus and in this disease, the medical experts tell us to wear masks. Amen. Wear a mask to protect yourself and to protect your brothers and your sisters. And love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? So you should wear a mask. And then doctors say, that they're still guessing that when they were, first of all, it was 6 feet, isn't it right? To maintain your distance, right? And to wait until others go before you, right? And to give them the certain proper distance, amen? Because this virus is airborne, y'all see it? And then not only were we to wear a mask, not only were we to wait and social distance, but we're supposed to wash our hands. Because I don't know what I may be carrying when I touch a doorknob, when I do something in your presence, amen, and touch something that you may touch and transfer this virus to you. I don't know. So to love you properly and to protect you, I will wash my hands for 20 seconds and sing the birthday song, even if it's inconvenient, because I love you enough to take the time out to do what it takes to protect you. Hear me now? So there is a virus in the air to wash our hands, to keep social distance, and to wear your mask. But one thing about, there's another virus that people don't talk about, but it is a virus. That virus is called sin. Amen. That sin keeps you from God. Sin makes you act like anything but God. Sin will make you walk away from things that you love because you love yourself more than you love God. And you just read that. And then you will begin to be selfish, amen, and not listen to the dictates of God, amen, because there's a virus in the air. That virus is a small parasite. This is the definition of it. A small parasite that cannot produce by itself. Y'all hear me? It cannot produce by itself. But what it does is it can infect a susceptible or a weak cell in somebody else's body. Once it overtakes a weak cell in a body, it produces more viruses, amen, and makes the person sick. It's the same way with sin. You can have a little bit of sin and keep on sinning, and after a while, that sin will perpetuate. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that when God cleans you up, you need to come together and put the word of God in you and get with people who ain't like mine, because if you don't, if seven more sins will come on you, more dangerous than that, you weren't doing it but cussing at first. Now you're cussing. Now you're lying. Now you're smoking. Now you're cheating. You're doing everything you're not supposed to do because you allow other viruses and parasites to invade your body. A virus can be hateful. It can be mean. It can be passed down. Amen. Y'all seen families when one person is mean as a rattlesnake. Amen. Their children are mean as a rattlesnake. Their grandchildren mean as a rattlesnake. Amen. That's why you and I got to teach these little rascals that we have how to love folk, how to treat folk right regardless of what other people do to stop this mess because there is a virus in the air.
Yes.
Yesterday, peaceful protesters walking to ground. I Am Change was the movement. Reverend Greg Drumright, I'm sorry, who is an alumni of Cummings High School, pastor of the Citadel Church in Greensboro, who was concerned about what's going on and the hate that's being perpetuated. So he takes this movement and he begins to relieve folk. And not that even better. They've been doing this for a while now. This wasn't the first march, amen. Matter of fact, this wasn't no protest. It was just a march to the poll to get folk people to vote early. They on their way to the poll. They stopped for 8 minutes and 40 seconds, if I heard the report right. When they stopped for 8 minutes and 40 seconds, amen, Brother Son Rogers, when I heard about it, I was worried about him. Brother Rogers was running for out of that school board. I was worried about him. He said he had already made it to the poll. Mayor Ian Baltus, I knew he was there. I was concerned about him. Fellow Elon alum, I said, okay, the mayor's there. This not good, amen. I don't know whether he made it through or not. So it's the Dreamer Caldwell who was there, amen. A campaigning, amen. And then all these other people, they say that after 8 minutes and 40 seconds that the deputies told the people they need to move out the way because they was blocking or causing impediment, right? And I'm in law and order myself, and I believe if that was happening, that was good. But when nobody coming through there, because Reverend Drumright said he had the petition, amen. They had the right to march from where they were down to the election center in Graham. But what happened was the deputies pepper sprayed the people. Pepper sprayed a little girl, 5 years old. Well, she got the residuals of it. It don't matter. You pepper sprayed somebody who really wasn't a threat. My friend, Sister Ernestine Lewis, amen, who was an elder of the community, upstanding, fine citizen, she also gets pepper sprayed in the midst of it. As a matter of fact, Reverend Drumlight, who was trying to do the right thing, gets arrested along with 12 to 18, I don't know the number, but the people got arrested for no particular reason, amen. Matter of fact, they say they arrested a reporter who was actually taking pictures. They told him to leave out the road. The brother was walking away, but he was taking pictures, and they arrested him too. I heard people say stuff like this. Sister Mitchell, who's 5 years old, I don't know if it's a daughter or a niece, I don't know for sure, but I know she said that it didn't make no sense because they were peaceful. She said it didn't make no sense, and then she went on to say she never really seen anything like this, amen. And others who said that a Democratic candidate who also was there, he said the same thing. They had never really seen anything like this. But let me help y'all with this. This virus of hate, this virus that's perpetuated, this tradition of hate, it's always been here. Don't tell me that y'all ain't seen it. Y'all have seen it because there's nothing new under the sun. The thing is, you've never experienced it. Because we see Dr. King go through. We see Elijah Muhammad go through. We've seen all these people go through trying to help other people. We've seen it happen. We've seen folks standing in the doorway of the school board because they didn't want folk like us to sit with them. We've seen folk, Brother Slim, like you told me, I know you did, that the musicians were sitting in, y'all played to get folk out of jail who just wanted to go to the restaurant and eat, amen. They got arrested and y'all played for free to get them out. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm trying to tell you that there is a virus in the air. There is tradition of hate in the air. And you say, well, Reverend Thompson, what are you doing? Let me break this down for y'all in case y'all don't know. I'm going back to my notes because I feel like screaming, amen. It says that when they stopped, they got pepper sprayed. I just told you. From a child to an elder. But the thing is, we have been fighting over this statue openly for at least 8 months. Notice that the fight really didn't start like this until COVID happened. The virus came, and now tradition have met with the virus, and then everybody's fighting. When we should be trying to come together as a community, black, white, and Latino, so that we can make it through this pandemic. But we are fighting over statues. Engraved on the wall, it says, "In God we trust." Isaiah said that, and Jesus said it right here in this text, that the people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You can't tell me you love God who you've never seen and don't love your brothers and sisters who you see every day. I wish I had somebody that would help me to get this thing across the way I feel. I'm trying to tell you that the virus in the air is sin. The virus in the air is hate. And let me tell you how the devil operates. Y'all know in y'all life when God brought you out of the darkness into the marvelous light, and every now and again the devil comes back and tries to snatch you right back to where you were. It might be a subtle thought. It might be somebody call you and say something. It might be your own reflection when you hear a song and you reflect back to the way you used to be in your sinful life. Hey, amen. This is the same mess that was happening. Let me go ahead on and work with this like going on to the house. That statue that we're fighting over, and the wall to walls of ground where it said, "In God we trust." When then they fighting, you hear people fighting over the Ten Commandments. Ain't that right, Queen? Saying, "Do the Ten Commandments." They not studying no Ten Commandments, because if they were studying the Ten Commandments, they would understand in the Ten Commandments is Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, that says you should have make no graven images in your land, and you ain't supposed to bow down to nothing. I'm just talking what I'm talking about. And I'm trying to tell you right now that there's a virus in the air. And the virus in the air is that the very spot where that statue stands, the very people that are talking about law and order, the very people that are talking about veterans and taking care, first responders, they are hypocrites and liars. What is that? White outlaw. White outlaw on February 26, 1870 was hung on the square in Graham. His mama, Jemiah Phillips, gave her testimony that they busted her house, Ku Klux Klan, and drug him from his house. That house, instead of Graham, First Presbyterian Baptist Church, is sitting in the very spot where where his home was. In other words, they hung him, tore his house down, and built a church over it. Let that sink in for a while. Kicked the man door in, drug him down to the square in ground, amen, and hung him, amen, and said he was mounted, and he was talking about what he wasn't supposed to be talking about. But let me go ahead on and help you. I'm telling you that it's hypocritical, because now they're talking about law and order. They hung a man who was the first black man who was a constable. He was a lawman, amen, and he protected the community, amen. But yet they took a lawman and hung him on the square in Graham. I wish I had somebody to help me, but I started feeling doubt. Not only did they hang the man on the square who was a constable, but he was an elected official. He was elected by the people, appointed by the governor, so he could do what he did. They drug him from his house. From where Graham, this day, go down there and ride down and look. Where Graham First Baptist Church is, they drug him all the way down the street to the Graham Square, and they hung him high, and they stripped him wide. I was a handsome guy. And when they did that, they said they broke an outlaw. Went fighting. He was kicking, and he was screaming. Everybody trying to fight his way to the gap, but he couldn't. He couldn't overcome him. They said it was five constables, and the other four ran. Yeah, let me say that again. When folks say they're with you, you'll find out they're with you. When the shooting starts, when the cutting starts, when folks talk about you, when folks try to run you down, you're going to find out who's with you. So the four other constables, they ran. Brother Outlaw got hung, amen. When they hung him, they took that statue dedicated by the daughters of the Confederacy. The Confederacy who wanted to make us slaves. They never intended for us to be free. Never intended for us to be able to read. Never intended for us to have property. Let's just talk about what we're talking about. I'm tired of looking at the elephant in the room. Let's just go ahead on and talk about what we're talking about.
Yes.
Took this man, hung this man, destroyed his home, hung him on the square. Then they tell me that some folks say that is their history. Confederates, they say it's their history. You're right, it is your history.
Yeah.
That history ain't nothing but tradition. And mixing that history ain't nothing but a virus of hate. You say you love God, but you don't really love God like that. Because you can't love God if you don't love me. People talking about elective vote because they're trying to get rid of Roe versus Wade. In other words, the right to abortion, amen. And I understand that being a preacher, amen, that we ought to protect unborn life. But tell me how you're going to protect a baby in the womb. And then you sterilize many black women along the way, sterilize men with venereal disease so they can produce a seed. Amen. Somebody up in here. And then not only that, you will kill an unarmed black man. You will take a young child, kick him out of school for something that's small. But when they're a baby, you want to protect them. Lord have mercy. Took this man. Hung him. February 26, 1870. Very smart where they hung him, they erected this statue. The Deborah Morton said that we ought to stop trying to build monuments and start building movements. Wish I had somebody to help me along the way till I feel better. Which one are you going to follow? Tradition? Or are you going to follow the word of God? Tradition perpetuates fear if it's in the wrong hands. But the word of God will bring faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Tradition will bring hate if it comes from a hateful person. But the Bible says to love your neighbors and also to love your enemies. The Bible says to love justice and do mercy. Dr. Martin Luther King, who knew a whole lot about hate, said injustice to somebody anywhere is injustice anywhere is injustice. Everywhere. You know what he said?
Yeah.
If injustice is in Alamance County and in Graham, if tradition, Brother Cliff, pulls down Alamance County and Graham, if tradition and that violence of hate will hold down Graham, it's just a reflection of the state of North Carolina and a reflection in Washington, D.C. I went down for Alabama's funeral service to go down to the Secretary of State. While I'm down at the Secretary of State, I'm standing looking down the square. I see a Confederate soldier down there standing in the square looking at me in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I heard folks walking by calling Black Lives Matter. Yeah. And yesterday, one old boy got arrested. One of the representatives said, he said, I've never seen nothing like this. He said, it don't make no sense that you can say that all lives matter and blue lives matter. But none of those lives gonna matter until black lives begin to matter. I wish I had somebody. Stop letting folks change the narrative of what it was. Colin Kaepernick, when he took a knee, he didn't take a knee against the flag. He took a knee because unarmed black men was getting killed. I wish somebody would go ahead on and get the narrative right. When Muhammad Ali refused to go into the army because he didn't want to fight, because he was a conscientious objector, they took his title. They stripped him of everything they thought he was. Everybody was cheering when he won the Olympics, but he came home and couldn't even eat in a restaurant. Came home and couldn't even vote in peace. I wish I had somebody. But yes, I'm telling you that you got to watch tradition. So in this text, I got to go. In this text, the Pharisees, yeah, they were the ones who, they believed in the resurrection. They were the ones who understood the law. That was the Pharisees, y'all understand? But then they had the scribes. The scribes were the professors of the law. They understood well what the law said, amen. But they was more concerned about ceremonial washing. Now listen to me. When a doctor get ready to operate on you, and they give you anesthesia, you prep for surgery, amen. That while you're doing all that, the doctor is scrubbing up, amen. He's scrubbing from his elbow all the way down to his fingertip to make sure that no virus, no sedation, no dirt is going to get inside of you. So he's washing his hands. But these men was talking to Jesus about his disciples eating with unwashed hands. But that wasn't what they was worried about. They was worried about the ceremonial law. I read to you when they went to the marketplace, when they went to Pool Line, when they went to Walmart. Y'all know what they did? When they got home, they wasn't worried about washing their hands. They was doing Leviticus 20, where they was washing their whole bodies, amen. They was trying to get themselves ritually clean. And today, there's some folks in church trying to get themselves ritually clean, but their heart is not right with God. The Bible says in John chapter 4 that you have to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And to get there, you got to get your heart right. The praise team can't get your heart right. The preacher can't get your heart right. Only the Holy Ghost can get your heart right. Damn. But until you repent of your mess, until you are baptized, or you stop, until you stop treating people nasty, until you stop treating people hateful, Isaiah chapter 1 said that God told his people Israel, y'all stop playing that music. Y'all stop doing all them ceremonies. He said, because I don't hear your worship because your heart is not right. You gotta wash your hands. You gotta wash your hands with the word of God. Jesus said after they talking, Jesus said, y'all worried about copper pots and vessels and all that. And Pharisees said, yeah, because your men don't wash their hands, they don't walk in the tradition of the elders. How many of y'all came to church and because they say our church don't do this, amen, and they run folk away? First thing is, you've got to realize that you're a sinner saved by grace too. And somebody that's really saved will never say that because they are praying for you. They are encouraging you. They are blessing you. But only the devil will say that. In verse 1, y'all see it? When it said the Pharisees and the scribes came from Jerusalem. They came from the church, amen. They came from the upper holy place. And then they said they saw his disciples eating bread with unwashed hands. And now I want to do something that is the Bible, right? right here in verse 2 it says, and they find fault. And that's what I'm trying to tell you right now. When folk find fault in what you're doing in God's church, when you're doing it with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit, when you love the Lord, you're doing what he called you to do, and you're doing what he's anointed you to do, and folk find fault with that, it's because they are of the devil. Amen. That's what the Bible just said. They found fault. How can you find fault when I'm walking in the anointing that God has given me? When I'm doing what God called me to do, how can you find fault? I don't care if nobody finds fault in what I do. And I'm trying to tell y'all, don't let nobody find fault in what you do when you're working for the Lord. Here we are. Word of God is made of none effect. Jesus said that the people draw near me with their lips. How many people tell you that they love the Lord? Yeah. Then they'll drop a lie on you. How many folks tell you that their God is their all and their all? And they start talking about somebody before you get out of their presence. Ain't that right? You got to be careful because my grandma told me that if a Negro will talk about somebody else, he's talking about you. Yeah. Y'all scared now, ain't you? Y'all know what you have going with this, dude. I'm all right. I'm going to stay right there. Let me give you some scripture. I'm going to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. It tells preachers to do the work of the Lord, to speak the word of God in season and out of season. The Titus chapter 1, verse 14 tells you to be very careful of what you believe to be the word of God, but it ain't nothing but fables of people. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 tells you to be very careful of men's philosophy. Amen. Don't get spoiled with vain deceit. Amen. In other words, when you talk to somebody and you talk about the word of God, and they say, yeah, but you better put up out of there. Yeah. Because they're trying to take you away from God. In other words, Reverend Mike Murdoch said it like this. Whenever you're dealing with the truth and a third voice come in, you better watch it. I'm your preacher today. I'm not the only preacher, but I'm your preacher today. And y'all call me and tell me immediately when I finish preaching this, somebody gonna come. It's called the third voice. Amen. The third voice in the garden, the cool of the day, Adam and Eve, after God had given them the directive and the commandment, the serpent came and he was the third voice. See, some of y'all still don't get it. Husbands got a good wife, but you listen to this rascal talk about, I wouldn't do this and I wouldn't. That's that third voice. Amen. Wives, you got a good husband, listen to your girlfriend, and I wouldn't let him treat me like that. Now you wouldn't let him treat me because you ain't got nobody. Amen. I'm trying to say, you will watch that third voice. That's why it's the church. The voice in the church is not the final authority of the preacher, the deacons, the trustees, or the nuns. I don't care how long you've been in the church. I don't care how much money you get in the church. Preacher, I don't care how many stripes you got on your sleeve. I'm telling you that the word of God is the final authority. Hebrews chapter 4, 12 says the word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, cut through the bone and the marrow, the soul and the spirit. Amen. If you want to know who somebody is, apply what they're saying and doing to the word of God, and it'll let you know who they are. Nothing but a virus, nothing but a thief, nothing but a crook, nothing but a liar, but none but the righteous shall see God. I'm gone when I tell you, folks, I'm always trying to tell you, don't worry about it. Don't say nothing about it. Be still and know that I'm God. Jackie Chan said in the movie, The Karate Kid, when they remade it, he was telling Taylor Smith, he said, being still and doing nothing is two different things. For those of you who are here today, heard this word, it's time to do something. Listen to me. Stop letting this stuff happen. People Facebook Live, listen to me. Go and vote. Don't let people trick you. Don't let folk fool you. We've been alive too long enough. Told me that reading Sister Queen where they said that statute, I was fussing about the taxpayers' dollars being spent on that statue. Don't care if you got a statue up there. But it's on public praise. It's not my monument. Not my history. Right? Well, only take it on, you know what I'm saying? I'm thinking like that. Right. Take the taxpayers' dollars.
But somebody read me to an article, and it said in the article that it shifted funds, right, from one place that they already had to another place. But see, he still didn't wiggle out the argument, Mr. Cook. You know why? Because Rev. Johnson knows a little bit of something. I know it's 13.7% of folk in Alamance County who are poor. They starve. They hungry. Y'all hear me?
Yeah.
They in poverty. You gonna tell me that you can move some money around?
Huh?
Yeah. To support a stone structure that the Lord told you you're supposed to put up anyway.
Yeah.
And then you put it up on top of innocent blood.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Tell me about this tradition. Tell me why tradition makes the word of God of none effect. People, I got a good man or a good woman, stay with them. Because that's a testimony and a legacy that you pass down. Yeah, I can be praying for a lady. Yeah, I had some crazy uncles, and my granddaddy told me different stuff like that, and when my grandma threw him out on his head. I decided to stay with my wife. Dad and my mom got a divorce, it was mutual. But I decided that if I was going to get married, I was going to try to stay married. The only way I'm going to stay married, my wife said, I won't be with you no more, I can't hold her. Ain't that right? I can love and be a friend, but I can't hold her. But I promise that. I promise to tell her that I'll always be there for my kids. And that's why I want to make this public service announcement before I leave. Is that I'm like Paul. I'll let nothing separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You don't know why I praise God like I do. You know why I put up with some of the stuff that I put up with. I put up with people who are sinful, who are donkeys, who are hard-headed, who won't listen, who play in church, because I used to be them. And I just believe that if you preach and you pray and you treat folk right, when they know they're not doing you right, you keep on treating them right, and then they have to answer to God in the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
Y'all hear me?
Amen.
So y'all get it together. Folk in y'all house, then y'all family, y'all holding the house together. Down in your house, you holding everybody else's house together. And then when folk get on their feet, they call you everything but a child of God.
Amen.
But I can stop by to tell you, I never seen the righteous forsaken. No, it seems better. There's a virus in the air. Yeah, y'all go ahead. There's a virus in the air. You gonna say those long words? Yeah, this ain't gonna work. We go. But there's a virus in the air. Let me fix that. There's a virus in the air. It's called sin. Some of us have been washed in the blood. That's the antidote for the virus. It's the blood of Jesus. You have never accepted Jesus and the free will pardon of your sin. If you ever run across this message right here, I want you to give your life to the Lord. Admit that you are a sinner and that you need his blood. If you are in this church with me today, and you know you done got off the beaten path because of tradition and because folk can push your button in that Bible, except for that, you need to come on back. Let us have some prayer so y'all can get right and make it through the week. Am I right about it? All right. Y'all ready? Y'all feel like it?
never from your presence. Pray, Lord, that something was done on the stage to encourage someone who's running this race to run it with patience, but nevertheless to keep on running. Pray, God, that those physically here with me under the sound of my voice, God, that you stir a fire in them. That it's time to get in the fight. It's time to get in the race. No longer can we be passive, but we will lift up bloodstained banner of you, Jesus Christ. So my prayer is that let you be true, O God, and your enemies be scattered. My prayer, Lord, is this, that let every man be a liar, and you be true, O God. Father, I thank you now for your blessings, your love, your honor, and your protection. Standing in prayer with Deacon Hall, who heard him say, ask you, God, to heal this land.
Yeah.
Government can't heal it, Lord, and education cannot heal it, but you said if your people call by your name and humble ourselves and pray and seek your face, turn from our wicked ways, then what you hear from heaven, you will heal the land. I'm standing on that, God. Bless those who are on Facebook Live. Remember my friend, Pastor Reverend Dan Cabino, Hopedale Church, as he get ready to go to service, give him strength. Remember Sister Zella Case, amen, to give her strength for her time of sickness and time of bereavement. We ask you, God, to bless the officers and members of this church, those who really wish they could be here, those who come in and out of these doors for many years. And yet, Lord, the door is shut because of the virus. But one of these days, Lord, we know, vaccine or no, you're going to make a way. So we trust you now. We lift you now. We praise you now. We honor you now. My prayer of your people is this, may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide henceforth, now, and forevermore. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I want to be at the meeting around the throne.